You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear why simplicity has the better than arrow pointing to superfoods, because simplicity is better than superfoods. Know how I taught myself to remember how those better than and less than sideways V's work? It's kind of bad, but I always remembered it because the point on the V points to the loser, the one that's less than. That's so mean. And it's my confession of the day. Now onward to simplifying nutrition. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more, Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was muy skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray, because I am telling you these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and haya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Yeah, yeah. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way. You can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. Hey, I'm in the midst of a massive 2-week photo shoot of 85-ish recipes for my upcoming cookbook, and I am knee-deep in almond butter and chickpeas, so I'm re-airing this episode with one of my tippy-top cookbook inspirations who just happened to marry her own Jesse a couple of weeks ago. I married my Jesse in October, and I have a whole podcast about how we plant partied our wedding in episode 116. But my girl crush guest, Mikkel Hill, is a superstar dietitian and the founder of the powerhouse wellness brand called Nutrition Stripped, which has been stripping down the complex topic of nutrition for six spectacular years. In those 6 years, Mikkel's written a cookbook, launched a robust society. Ooh, not a secret one though. She operates a thriving coaching practice. She's built a shop of super adorbs, planty t-shirts, and sexy stationery, and has brought knowledge and inspiration to millions and millions of health-seeking peeps. For someone whose senior high school superlative was to be the next Picasso, she's really been rocking the next impressive and stylish avocado-eating entrepreneur female judge and Shark Tank superlative these days, too. Here's my timeless chat with her about how she balances it all while keeping her body healthy and her plant eating on fleek. Mikkel, thank you so much for coming on the Party of My Plants podcast. It is so funny. The other day, my fiance and I were putting together a little engagement registry on Anthropology, and he was browsing. He's like, hey, have you ever heard of this book, Nutrition Stripped? Because I guess they sell it at Anthropology. And I was like, yeah, she's coming on the podcast this week. It was a cute little moment.
It's an amazing moment because we just had several of our community, like girls were just, I mean, really, I think it was like 10 in the scope of 2 days were DMing us like with pictures of them holding up the cookbook. And I was like, where are they? And then everyone was saying that they're at Anthropology. But that was actually how we learned that Anthro was selling the cookbook in stores around the U.S. and then also online. And it like just happened so randomly because once you get in the publishing world, like you kind of don't like know what happens to your book.
That's really funny.
It goes on its own, you know, on its own journey. So anyway, that was just an amazing touch point and another reason why I just am so grateful to have like an incredible community that can like tell me things like that.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That is awesome. Oh, congrats to you. You just got engaged.
I did. Thank you.
And side note, my fiance's name is also Jesse.
Oh, how cute is that?
I know. It's crazy. Jesse, I just love that name. And then I saw yours is Jesse. I was like, Jesse's engagement.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's such a good name. And his last name, which will be my last name. My name's already kind of difficult to pronounce, Mikkel. I mean, most people, when they read it, I get so many different variations. But my last name is going to be Kuinga, which is Dutch. So now when someone sees it, it's just going to be like, who is this person?
Mikkel? I've never heard a name like that.
My mom made it up. I mean, to be quite honest, like I wish I had like a really cool story, although I think it's
that
kind
is cool.
of sweet. Yeah, she made it up. I was going to be like Alicia, I think. Uh-huh. My grandmother was championing for Alicia, but my mom was reading a McCall's magazine, which was kind of our generation's Cosmopolitan magazine.
Okay.
And she always loved the name Kelly. So it was between Alicia and Kelly. And so she just like literally mixed the two words, Kelly and McCall, and came up with Mikkel.
Wow.
And so that's it.
That
I was
is
literally
fascinating.
Named, like the day that I was born. So.
Oh my God. That is so special.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one of a kind. That is really cute. Well, speaking of cute, do you have a cute engagement proposal story to tell us?
Oh my goodness. I mean, it was perfect. I think, I assume, but for me at least, like I would always think about like, oh, what is this day going to be like? You know, we knew we were going to get married the first day that we met and we got set up on a blind date.
And
it was one of those things where it sounds so cliche when I tell the story, but it's like, we both were in a place in our life where it was kind of meant to be because we both weren't looking for a relationship. I was like high on life, single for a good, you know, 6 months to a year, really coming into my own person and just really, really like loving who I am and also like what my life was. And I knew what I wanted. I knew what I needed. And so I kind of went into this blind date with me and I, you know, it's like guard up, like, you know, just
like, I don't just need like, you. I'm an independent woman.
No, for sure. It was like that. Like I literally was talking to my best friend, Paul, on the phone before the date. And he was like, girl, don't settle. You're amazing. So I walked in like, yeah, I'm amazing. I'm not going to settle. And I swear it was just like, you know, like everything went out the window. And I just like, we both just fell hard on that first night. So anyway, our engagement was really sweet. It was New Year's Eve day. In the afternoon, we were getting like just set up to get ready for the night. We had plans to go get drinks and then we were going to a party afterwards. So in normal like fashion, he's always uber romantic. So he had like roses and champagne. I really didn't think anything of it, right? Because it's also New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Which is also like both of our favorite holidays. But I am an insanely intuitive person. So I kind of knew like something was happening that week, and especially that day of, like I knew something was like happening. I was hoping that he would propose, and it happened, but the way that it happened was such a surprise and was just really sweet. You know, it happened in our kitchen, which is like the heart of our home. And I know we spend so much time in it. So it was just, it was really beautiful. There was a lot of tears, a lot of, you know, it's just, it's kind of a blur too.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about it, all I remember seeing is like something sparkly, but I didn't really understand what it was. And I was like, what's happening? And everything kind of just like fades out. And I just hear, will you marry me?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I'll marry you. And I'm bawling my eyes out. And Luna's like jumping all over the place because she's like, what's happening, mom and dad?
She's a dog, you know, by the way.
Luna's
people
dog.
Don't, yeah, Luna's people dog. Don't know that.
Yeah, Luna's our dog. So it was perfect. It
That's
was
amazing.
Everything I could have ever wanted.
Oh, do you have a date and everything set already?
Probably sometime in the fall, but honestly, we're just kind of like chilling
and
soaking this in. Yeah. And, you know, he and I both are, we kind of go with the flow. So we really just want to like take it as it comes because I know so many, not only have I coached, you know, brides to be and also my future sister-in-law because my brother is getting married this year.
Oh.
Like I understand like how much stress is involved. And so we really just want to like, chill.
Yes.
And you know, make sure that we enter in this next beautiful chapter good.
Yeah.
You know, and not stressed out. So
yes. Well, yeah. We will get into stress because I know that stress is one of the things you talk about most. We already have our date. We're October 5th. We're moving along. It's been medium stressful, but you know, trying to stay low key about it. It's just one day. It'll be a great day, but there's many more days after that that'll also be great. So try not to put all our eggs in this one basket because then it's just crazy.
Yes, yes. You never want to have that like weird melancholy, like post-wedding, wedding day bliss where it's like, oh man, that was so fun. And we spent a year, you know, for this one day. It's like, we just have to stay, you got to stay present, you know, throughout the whole thing and just really milk it and enjoy it.
Yeah, milk it.
That's awesome for you guys.
Oh, thanks. Well, does your Jesse share your passion for healthy eating or does he enjoy it?
Yes. Jesse has a really interesting story. So he didn't have electricity until he was 15 years old. His family is completely self-sustaining. So, you know, I'm coming again, like kind of flashing back to our first date or whatever. I'm telling him what I do, X, Y, Z. And it was just hilarious because he was telling me like, yeah, like I grew up on fresh greens and like my family literally ate off of their own land, chickens, eggs, like the whole nine yards. So yeah, I mean, honestly, like he teaches me some things, especially about gardening and like sustainability and recycling, and again, being a little bit more like conscious of food waste and things like that. So I'm really grateful. And he's actually a really good cook.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Well, then you can't relate to this big stressor that most people come to me with, which is that their significant other doesn't want to eat healthy with them. You know, they're not on the avocado toast train with them. So I'm sure you've coached people through that, even if you don't have that experience now. But what do you say when your clients are like, what do I do? My husband doesn't want to eat healthy. My fiance, my roommate, like, how do you help people navigate that?
Yeah, 100%. So I think first things first is like, let's say it's you, for example, like if it's you and your healthy eating habits or your health goals that you're really trying to prioritize, then I say prioritize that. So this isn't a selfish way of thinking. I'm just saying you see so many, or I've seen so many clients of mine who kind of bend over backwards making five meals for their families, or and none of them are catering to their own health needs. And so I first ask and like invite people just to be like, okay, well, what do you want and what do you need with your food, or for example, or your meals to make you feel really good and to be healthy. Okay, part one done. Part two, how do you engage your family or roommates or husband or wife to also explore that with you? You know, it's going to sound cliche, but communication is key. So saying and voicing like, hey, I want to eat this way because I want to feel good, or I want to explore this. Like, will you explore this with me? There's so many things that can spark out of just open communication and conversation of voicing like, hey, this is what I need. This is what I want. And kind of making it fun too. So trying to cook together, regardless of cooking expertise on either side, right? Like, if you both, quote, can't cook, that's even more fun because you can open up a cookbook and explore it together and really just remember to have the lens of curiosity, exploration, and fun versus the lens of pressure. I should do this. We should know how to cook or eat healthy. Because there's, you, do you see what I'm saying? There's like two ways you can look at it, and one can be really stressful and make that whole like opportunity to find a new passion together or connect on a different way and also just eat healthy food, right, or it can be, you know, a really fun experiment for you guys.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what your whole thing, Nutrition Stripped, is about. It's about making it feel enjoyable and not the shoulds. Like, you're not should. You're not forcing or stressing anybody out about like, oh my God, if you eat gluten or if you eat eggs or if you don't eat eggs or if you don't, you know, like, it's all about, you know, making it the lifestyle. And I think what you just said makes a lot of sense, you know, doing it with your partner, making it fun. And I think it's really important that you said, you know, to prioritize it and to prioritize yourself, because, you know, they always say, and the old cliche, you know, when you're on an airplane and they're like, put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others. I mean, that is just the perfect, you know, metaphor for healthy living and eating.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, really, I say this all the time. I say it to myself every day. I say it publicly too. But if you have to show up for yourself fully before you show up for others. And I mean, that's it. And any walk of, you know, life that you're looking at it through the angle of healthy eating, through exercise, through sleep, whatever it is, or work, it's a different self-care, but it's necessary self-care. You know what I mean?
Like, so
many people think of self-care of being manicures and pedicures. And of course they can include that, you know, I'm all about that. But also, like, self-care is like waking up and like brushing your teeth, like drinking water, you know, socializing, like having fun, enjoying like nature. Like, they're very simple, like human things that we need. And that alone is self-care too, especially like in today's world where we're all always putting, you know, other people before us or not taking care of ourselves in any way.
I mean, that's literally self-care. Like, you are caring for yourself. I mean, I would say the manicures and the baths and the, you know, spa days, that's next level self-care. That's like after you've done the basics of like prioritizing your own sleep, prioritizing drinking water, you know, prioritizing quiet time, whatever it is. Like, manicure, isn't going to help you if you're not prioritizing the essentials.
Yeah. But it's so amazing. Like, so many of my clients who come to me, it's like really fundamental, like simple tweaks like that, that have and make the world of impact and long lasting, you know, behavior change and feel good change, versus just like, hey, I'm going to sit on a meditation cushion, you know, and make this whole event out of meditation, where else it could just be a tool, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's back up a little and talk about who the heck you are, except I think most people who like plants know very well who you are, except for my Jesse, apparently, when he saw your book. But, you know, tell us about how you created the massive brand Nutrition Stripped, because you originally set out in life and college to be an artist, right?
Yeah.
You were in art school.
Such an interesting... Well, so it's an interesting trajectory of like how I got to be, quote, here. So in high school, I graduated high school, by the way, with like 1.83 GPA, I think.
Wow.
I was rocking like, you know, that level of academia.
Nice.
Because I was banking on the fact that I was going to go to art school. I was heavily into art. I loved photography. I loved painting, sculpture. I mean, literally everything creative I could get my hands on. That was me. My senior superlative was actually the next Pablo Picasso.
Ah.
And so that was actually kind of that's where I was. But fast forward to the fact that like I knew I wasn't going to be comfortable making a living on that. There were too many uncertainties for me. But I was like, I need to get into something that I do enjoy and like make a, quote, like real career out of. At the time, I was really like gung-ho about like, oh, I have to have this real career, right? Because pressure from family or just society, when in hindsight, it's actually kind of funny because you know, millennials, and like there are so many opportunities for artists. That's insane.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're an artist now. You know, a lot of what you do.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it definitely bleeds through everything I do with Nutrition Strip, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I got into biology and psychology as my first college majors at Ohio State. And psychology, I loved that. I loved the interaction and also like the human body, but the interaction between like people and their experiences. Except for me, I was like, man, I don't know if I could become a psychologist and coach and counsel all the time. It felt too heavy for me. Mm-hmm. Again, very intuitive. I know my boundaries emotionally, spiritually, and that would just like open up too much for me. And so I was like, there's other things here that I really want to explore. Again, I loved biology. And then during my like exploration phase, I really got into working out, into like a couple of friends did fitness modeling and college like athletics. And so I just hung out with them and was starting to cook and do meal planning and just really kind of fell into sports nutrition as like this catalyst into this nutrition world. And so that was really the start of it all. And it was really an interesting journey. And I feel like to this day, you know, nutrition and that whole path really kind of found me, if you will, because all along, kind of going backwards a little bit, in high school, I had horrible migraines that would take me out of school for like 3 days at a time.
Oh my God.
I would have PMS, you know, acne issues, especially like on my back and chest, tons of digestion issues. Except as like a 15, 16 year old, you really don't think about it. I mean, yeah. For me, like I'm from the Midwest. I was like eating Skyline chili and like Pringles. And yeah, I would eat healthy food too, but like I had no concept of, oh, food impacts the way that I feel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I kind of just accepted, all right, this is going to be my new normal. And like, I'm just going to live this way. And yeah. That's fine. And
because you didn't know anything better. You didn't have no idea. Yeah. You know, I talk about that all the time, that people don't know what they don't know. They don't know how good they could feel until they feel that way. And then they look back and they're like, holy crap. Like I was like, living
yeah,
crazy.
So, I mean, that's exactly what happened. So during all of this, again, this like exploration of college majors, and when I got into nutrition, of course, being in a dietetic curriculum, I was going through all of these, you know, biology, all of the things, you know, that happened with dietetics, but there were a couple courses in particular that helped me. Again, I really feel like this found me, but I just started guinea pigging all of these different diets and lifestyles just out of, to be honest, just out of complete curiosity. And also because I knew that I was going to coach people in the future. And I wanted to truly empathize with them and come at it from a way that I was like, oh yeah, I remember doing vegan for, you know, 2 years. This is what I felt XYZ. So, I mean, I literally did like pretty long case studies on myself from like 6 months on diets, 2 years.
Wow.
So during that process, I did a really long food elimination diet because that was kind of basic, especially as a nutrition student. Again, I don't know if all students do this, but I was really into it. So I would guinea pig everything. And that was really my turning point of a lot of health issues began to resolve. So first up, I took out dairy. And I had a hunch about this anyway. It's in the top 8 food allergens. All of my family members have some type of dairy intolerance or like IBS related to dairy. So I knew like I'm probably going to have an issue. So for me, within like 2 to 3 days, my skin dramatically cleared up. My digestion issues, like, I mean, this sounds really dramatic, but for me, feeling like that was quote normal and then to feel better, it felt like night and day. It felt like a light bulb went on and I was just like, this
new
is
person.
Incredible.
Yeah.
This is how it feels to feel good.
Wow.
So I kept at it. And, you know, again, just years of tweaking, gluten and I still aren't friends. And I've had, you know, digestive issues since I was a teen. And, you know, even in my adult life, they still pop up. And I, you know, I always will, I think, have some type of, you know, issue there, but, you know, always be like working on that. So anyway, kind of moving forward to Nutrition Stripped, that was really, again, like in college when I got that aha moment, that was really my moment where I was thinking, okay, well, what do I want to do with this? How do I want to help people in the future kind of go from where I was experiencing, quote, health and what I felt like was normal to what actually is. And so I really got into learning from other practitioners and yoga and integrative functional medicine and really just absorbing all different types of medicine, Western, Eastern, like anything. I would just soak it up as a sponge. And that's why I think Nutrition Strip's philosophy really blossomed during that time period when I was exploring my own things that worked and what didn't work. But also I knew just from sitting in class, I was never going to prescribe or give, I should say, Jill, Joe, and Jack the same meal plan just because of their disease state. Like that didn't make any sense to me because I was like, well, Jill, you know, Jill might have like high stress because she's a young professional and, you know, whatever. And Jack might be a dad of four. And like, there's right. so many other factors with stress and sleep and metabolism that, you know, really alter the way that we should be nourishing our body on different ways, not just food, but like, how are we feeding ourselves on like a life?
Like the self-care stuff.
Yeah. Like on a life level. So again, fast forwarding a little bit, Nutrition Stripped really started as a food blog. Mm-hmm. And a nutrition blog, because I wanted to just like, again, hungry student, like soaking all this in. I'm just like jazzed about life because I feel great. And I'm finally feeling like I'm living my life again. So I just wrote and I wrote like this blog and I had no idea how to like have a blog.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had probably 50 readers at the first, all of whom I could list off from like high school to family members.
It's just like Facebook then, friends.
yeah, Facebook friends. And then it grew just because I was consistent. You know, I'd have a recipe on Tuesday. Fridays would be a nutrition article or like health advice or something. And I mean, honestly, it happened pretty quick in terms of taking it from a hobby to a full-time career within less than a year. I want to say like 9 months.
Amazing.
And it was because of just inquiries and people were like, hey, you're a dietitian. I want you to coach me. And that was kind of what I was formulating what I would do like in college. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do with all this? Mm-hmm. I had a hunch, like I'm going to have my own thing.
It's awesome.
And so I just never knew how that would take shape. And it still amazes me like how it is taking shape still and how it's evolved over the years. But it was a lot of challenge, a lot of sacrifice. You know, starting your own company is intense. I was working like 3 jobs at the time of starting it. So it might look like all sunshine and rainbows to the outside world on social media because it's so edited and filtered. Mm-hmm. For all of us, but you know, nothing ever happens overnight. It's a lot of hard work.
Well, it's phenomenal what you've created. It's truly amazing and inspiring. And I know you're like, yeah, it blew up because I was consistent, but that's not it. I mean, what you do is remarkable and it's so different from what other people put out there. Because what's so special, in addition to your aesthetic, which is just like drop dead gorgeous, but everything is legit, dude. It's like science based. It's not just like random person that read random stuff on Wikipedia, randomly putting it in their words and putting it out into the world as fact. Like you are a dietitian, which I think makes you so much more legit and credible. And, you know, you can really talk about what you're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I think, I mean, I love the world of science. I respect it. It's here for a reason. And I think it's also really important that we listen to the other side of the spectrum, which is the subjective. It's like, how are we feeling? You know, science can't always measure that and the psychological component all the time. And so I think it's really important that we have both experiences as humans for a reason. And it's good to put those both into action to take care of yourself best.
It's unusual to find somebody like you, like an artist who's also into science. That's weird.
I know. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I'm insanely fascinated with like just biology. I think like the math part of it, like calculus, pre-calc, like all of that, I wasn't so into. I like just got by just to do it. You know what I mean? But yeah, like biology classes, anatomy, physiology, I really dug that.
Fascinating. So just, can you clarify for us, what is the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian or an RD?
Yeah. So RD, registered dietitian, or RDN, registered dietitian nutritionist, both credentials mean essentially the same thing, are through university accredited programs through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So what kind of quote has to happen, and I actually believe these rules are changing, and I want to say in 2020 or 2022, but right now you just have to have an undergraduate degree from, again, that accredited university in dietetics with a internship that lasts about a year, if not two. And then you have to pass a national exam to get your official credential. Mm-hmm. There's also CEUs involved, continuing education credits that are over the span of 5 years. And that just, again, like keeps you up to date with science and everything. Oh. So there's quite a lot of science, again, anatomy, it's from a clinical perspective. The dietetic curriculum too, I've noticed, because I have a friend who teaches at a university. It's been really, really cool to see some of the infrastructure of the curriculum, like be updated and change and talk about like plant-based diets and yoga a little bit more than I had a touch point in school. So that's a huge factor. But again, in 2020 and 2022, I think like you'll have to be, you'll have to have a master of science, which I went ahead and did when I was just fresh out of undergrad. Cause I was like, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it.
True.
And then the difference between, you said a nutritionist was your question?
Yeah. Because I have a friend who's a dietitian and she's like, basically, anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. Is that, I mean, in so many words?
I mean, yeah, in so many words or in a nutshell, pretty much. I mean, like if you went to a university and you might have, some nutrition classes or nutrition courses under your belt or have gone to maybe like a couple online courses or something like, quote, nutritionist, like, yeah, pretty much anybody who's done that can say that. And then health coaches differ depending on like, you know, universities or online courses that you're taking, like Institute of Integrative Nutrition, I think, like you have their type of certification of a health coach. So there's a lot going on. I mean,
yeah,
I don't believe like one has a monopoly on like nutrition and health, but I do think like, you know, if you're looking for somebody, you know, to work with as like a coach, as a potential client or whatever, just look out at their credentials and see like if your goal meets their expertise and their experience. That's really what it's about, making sure that you're putting your health in good hands and information that you're getting is actually like reliable information that you can count on, because yeah, there is just like so much out there now, which again, it's like, I'm sure everyone's intentions are really, really great and just want to help people, but some of them aren't. So you just gotta kind of scope them out.
Totally. Excuse me for a sec. I just want to pop in here with a quick little thing I've been doing as of late that makes being healthy way less sucky, which you know is the entire point of the Party in My Plants podcast. So yay. I've been buying my non-perishable groceries, so like everything but my fresh plants, on Thrive Market, and I completely feel like I'm beating the healthy eating system, which makes me feel really happy but also slightly sad for all the folks in the long lines at the Whole Foods across the street from me. Although grocery shopping is a good time to listen to podcasts like this one, so I hope they're at least doing that. Anyway, if you don't know about Thrive Market or you've seen ads for it and haven't really investigated what their dealio is like me until I started using them, because while I've been working on my cookbook, I've started to loathe grocery shopping and needed a better way, let me SparkNotes Thrive for you. They're Amazon Prime meets Whole Foods. On Thrive, you can literally shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products just like you'd find at Whole Foods or in the healthy aisle at Stop & Shop or Kroger's or wherever, but at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. All of Thrive's packaging is made from recycled paper and is recyclable, which is fetch. They're 100% carbon neutral, which takes away all the G to the ilt about ordering from them, right? Right. And they get from checkout on my app while I'm watching a Friends rerun to hey yo at my doorstep in 2 days. Also, you know how Phoebe says to Joey that there's no selfless good deed? Well, she is right, because by hooking yourself up with Thrive, you're also helping to make it possible for low-income families, teachers, and veterans to access health-supportive foods thanks to Thrive's Gives initiative, which means that when you sign up for Thrive, yeah, they're a membership thing just like Amazon Prime, they donate a free membership to match yours. So yeah, Phoebe, using Thrive really does make you feel better about yourself. And it also takes the hell out of being healthy because you can get everything you need. Non-GMO food, crap-free snacks, plant party kitchen staples, daily vites and sups, eco and human-friendly cleaning supplies, safe and non-toxic beauty and bath products, home goods, organic baby products, pet products, and mas more. If you're new to Thrive Market and want to give them a try, you can get an extra 25% off your first purchase and a free 30-day trial just because you listen to the Party in My Plants podcast. How sweet of a party favor is that? Could my voice get any higher? 25% off their already super low prices just by using my link, thrivemarket.com/party. And you don't even need a code. Oh, and when you go to thrivemarket.com/party, you'll see a compilation, like I'm Beethoven over here, of like 27 of my favorite things to buy on Thrive. I have my non-toxic but non-lousy mascara and highlighter on there, my go-to staples like oats, pasta, salt, coconut oil, maple syrup, quinoa, dates, and my favorite superfoods for super less money than any other place I've ever found them. Oh, and my favorite chocolate and dish soap. Equally important stuff. To check out the Party in My Plants curated list of goods, plus to get that great 20% discount off your first order and a free 30-day trial, just go to thrivemarket.com/party and let's get back to this awesome party we're in the middle of. Well, talk to me about your food philosophy because you do have like a pretty articulate food philosophy. So how did you come up with it? And, you know, how did you evolve to build the guidelines for it? It sounds like it happened during your exploratory phase when you were like doing your elimination diet and really being a guinea pig.
Yeah. Yeah. I think really in a nutshell, like food philosophy wise, it's to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to say that in one sentence, it's to keep it simple. And what that means is enjoy a lot of whole foods. And that term is being used a lot too. And so what is a whole food? It's like fruits, vegetables, legumes, grains, you know, sweet potatoes, all
plants.
Those good nuts, seeds, plants, you know, and that's, it doesn't have to be like quote vegan or plant-based. Like you can still enjoy animal proteins if that fits you and your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And if that is your option, I just urge people to be like, hey, like, where is this coming from? Like, can I like get in touch with local farmers and see like how they're raising their animals and what they're feeding them? And for me, how are they caring for them? That's a huge point for me, like personally in my bones. Like I don't feel good about eating animal proteins unless I'm like cool with the system before it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, anyway, there's so much I could go on about that, but mm-hmm. just saying like eating simple foods, simplicity over superfoods is really where we need to be focusing just as a society. I think it's great to get really excited about like the goji berries and the matcha and the maca powder and all of these things that are incredibly nutrient dense, but are they a necessity to your health? No. Again, it's kind of like, why do all the manis and pedis for self-care if you're not actually sleeping well? Like, exactly. Why do all the matcha and goji if you're not even getting in, like, you know, my
spinach,
goal, 8
yeah.
to 10 cups of greens a day?
Yes.
You know, really, and why is that? It's fiber, it's phytonutrients, it's minerals, it's things that, like, we just don't get enough of, number one, in our soil nowadays, but also just we don't eat them enough. So that's huge. And again, it can be just that simple. And I think that is just like the bulk of our food philosophy. Now, in terms of like recipes I share, I do share all gluten and dairy free. Selfishly, I started the blog with those recipes for my needs. So it's just blossomed in that way. I have to be honest. But at the core, I always mention options in every single recipe. Like, yes, this might look vegetarian at face value, but I always give you like, hey, if you want, you know, a protein option, include that.
Yeah.
You know, include a protein of your choice. And, you know, nuts and seeds, if you will, or if you eat cheese, like go ahead and add that in. Like, again, I'm not dogmatic about what you can and can't eat. It's just, you know yourself better and what your lifestyle is. So just go with that.
Exactly. Well, I love that you say simplicity over superfoods because, I mean, in this industry right now, it's just like every day some sort of trendy packaged, quote unquote, healthy food is popping up and, you know, sprawling all across Instagram. So how do you, like, process that? Like, how do you deal with that? How do you decide what you want to incorporate and suggest to people to incorporate into their lives when really, as you said, it's just about whole foods. It's about plants. It's about real food. How do you add the fun, trendy, expensive, well-branded food into that philosophy?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome question. I feel really grateful and fortunate that I can get a lot of those like as samples when they first come out and try them. But again, like I'm a natural guinea pig. So for sure, I'm going to try out stuff and I'm going to research it and see like, does it live up to the hype? So matcha, I love matcha. Matcha is pretty easy to get your hands on now too. I mean, yes, it is pricier compared to just like a loose leaf green tea, for example, but the antioxidants are much higher. It's really delicious too. Yeah. And so that can kind of be an easy replacement for like an afternoon tea or even like coffee in the morning if you want to switch it up. So I love that one. And that one's really stuck with me to almost be like a classic versus just like a superfood. And again, like this is a classic. Like if you look at it traditionally in Japanese culture, like this isn't anything new. It's just new for like, you know, US and mainstream to be like, oh, matcha. You know, like I have a friend, Candace Kumai, who's a doll, and she, you know, always teaches me like the world of matcha and really got me hooked on it years ago.
But her mom's Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she grew up with it
as a norm.
Yeah.
Well, the original matcha bar in Williamsburg is right near where I mean, it's since closed and there's just one in Soho, I think, but it was right near me in Williamsburg. And I remember, you know, I was drinking matcha for years before it became this thing, you know, like, and then their friggin' matcha bar opened up and they were making 12 different types of matcha lattes and putting it in donuts and macaroons and just like nuts.
Yeah. I think it's like going back to your question too, it's just a matter of like, how do you want to incorporate it into your lifestyle? And do you need to, or do you want to, like, you know what I mean? Just asking yourself really easy questions and like, what is your budget for food? Again, like superfoods can be really expensive. So like, do you need to splurge on all these things or should you just get your essentials? So I think it's more just like, again, taking inventory and checking in with your lifestyle and how it incorporates. But I for sure drink matcha on the daily. I'm trying to think of like what other like quote superfoods I can't live without. Like
I'm curious
daily MCT oil. I really like MCT oil. Again, I use that in the coffee elevated recipe on nutritionstrip.com. Same with the matcha tea elevated on the blog. And so,
what is MCT oil for somebody curious?
MCT oil. So MCT is medium chain triglycerides. It's a fat source that's really common in coconut oil. So that's why like coconut oil got like, you know, really famous, if you will, for a while, because the fat MCT, they're digested a little bit differently than quote like long chain fatty acids or ones that are found in olive oil or nuts and seeds. So MCTs are digested almost like a carbohydrate, if you will. Like they're used as really quick energy. And also like on the clinical standpoint, like we use those all the time for people who have malabsorption issues, who just didn't like their systems either couldn't really handle the digestion of fat or couldn't handle all the processes that it had to go through to digest fat, or they just needed quick energy and calories. So to use it now and quote like normal life, it's really great because it is quick energy. It's fat. It's really good fat. It fills you up. It tastes good, especially when you blend it up in that coffee elevated or the matcha tea elevated recipe. It becomes like really frothy. And also like if you have it in a fasted state, again, if you just wake up first thing in the morning, you have a lot of water and then you drink one of those, you're kind of running on that fat fuel, if you will. Most likely it's not like you're burning, like you're not in, you know, ketosis or anything. That's a whole other thing, but you're running on glucose, but that little like nice surge of fat fuel is nice and it kind of keeps you full.
I've never tried it. I've read a ton, I mean, about it. Everyone's doing it, but I don't do what everybody does unless somebody like you can convince me. And so maybe now I'll try it.
Yeah, I like it. And if any of you are going to try it, and you, Talia, if you're going to try it, start really small. Like I'm talking like maybe a teaspoon at a time, because if your digestion is not used to MCT oil, you'll digest things very quickly, if you know what I mean. So that will just be like a little uncomfortable. So just start really small, take it easy, explore it. And then, yeah, I feel like those are all the like quote superfoods that I eat on the daily.
Great. So, okay. So in addition to nutrition and food, you also talk a ton about, you know, the whole lifestyle, like we were saying before, which includes like stress, sleep, love, nature. I mean, even in your book where you list out your 20 pillars to living whole and eating well, like one of those pillars is actually about food, and that's to eat a lot of greens. The rest are like de-stressing techniques and meditating and exercising and alone time, which it's fascinating that like a superstar dietitian like you promotes so many other aspects of life beyond food as crucial to eating and living well.
Thank you. I guess I just view that as like, duh, right? Like shouldn't
not to most people.
That? Yeah, I know. But, I don't know. I suppose it is a combination of just my health journey and history and appreciation of life in many areas of my personal life. It's easy for me to see the full picture. Mm-hmm. And also just life is so short, and it's really, we need to move through it and feel really good and like take a pause and enjoy the moments and soak them in. I think it's so crucial, especially like I said earlier, just in our society, there's so much urgency behind things that we do. And it's just a way to look at the bigger picture of your life, because we can have the most perfect diet. If there is such a thing, just as an example, you can have the most perfect diet. But if your stress is out of whack, or if you are incredibly unhappy, or your mental stability, or like just general emotional awareness and well-being isn't met or higher as it should be, you know, the diet isn't going to matter.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
They all work together. Everyone jives and works together. And if one thing on this, like one spoke on the wheel is weak or it's broken, then everything else is going to be impacted. And so it really is that like cliche word balance, but it truly is. I know, it truly is. It's like, how do you tend to all these things? How do you feed yourself and nourish yourself with food? Yes, but with exercise, with sleep, with joy, with support. All of these other things we have to nourish too.
Well, how do you do that? Because I mean, I heard you on a podcast a few years ago, I believe, where you talked about how you were actually burned out. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you went through a really rough period. You know, maybe that was right when Nutrition Strip was like hitting stardom and you were like running it maybe as a one-woman show. And I just heard you say like how much of a struggle that was. And so I assume you learned a lot from that. And now you have some sort of quote unquote balance in your life to try to prevent that from happening. So how did you get through that period?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And yes, you answered that. I mean, it was like the one woman show. It was like all of these other factors. There were things in my personal life that were going awry. And then it was just like all of this pressure to keep growing something that like I had no idea that I was making in the first place.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was a lot back then. And so that like contributed to burnout, or what I think was burnout, right? So I'm insanely grateful for that experience though, because as the company grows and as our goals grow, like that's not going to slow down. Like this isn't slowing down anytime soon. So I've had to make, you know, strategies and have tools and put myself first. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, what I've learned and how I kind of got on track from that was taking a break. It's about saying no and having boundaries. I say no far more than I say yes.
Yeah, you rescheduled this podcast 3 times.
Did I?
Yes. We were first in touch in July, and we are now in January. So you definitely practice what you preach.
I have to practice what I preach. But I mean, it really is like that. Like if I feel like I'm not able to show up fully for other people, whether they're clients, family, friends, or the community, whatever it is, or like projects or partners, like if I can't show up fully for them because I'm not like showing up for myself, then I definitely create boundaries and like get back into that zone of like feeling in sync. So like, you know, really easy things to keep me, quote, in sync. It's the morning routine.
Tell us about your morning routine.
Yeah, I write a lot about it on the blog as well. Like I literally have like a detailed list.
I read it, yeah. Give us the spark notes, can you? Or is it too long, you think?
Maybe you could just do the, I feel like it's going to be long. For
some okay. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. But in a nutshell, I wake up, you know, different time, depending on the season. Like right now we're in the winter. And so I wake up a little bit later, like 6:37. Normally it's like 5 or 6. And after I try to get like 8 hours of sleep every night, I wake up, drink a lot of water, either have coffee elevated or matcha tea elevated. I'll do a little meditation while I'm drinking that, like waking up, getting my like digestive system moving, like getting my mind working, and everything is just kind of like awakening from the night before. I'll go work out, and I love to run, lift weights, or do something, maybe walk outside depending on the weather, swim. I love to swim too.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back home and like get ready. It's very like routine, and I thrive off of that. I really like function well when I have a routine and I know that I'm taking care of myself, so that I can immediately, when I'm like on at work, I can show up and I can show up and be, you know, the best leader to the team, you know, be like on for the community when I'm creating content, when I'm writing, like I can really be there. And I think that's really important. And, you know, same with coaching my clients. So, I mean, they're really simple acts, but I feel like saying no is a huge one. Mm-hmm. And just knowing, like, if I am going to say yes, is the energy exchange going to be good and leave me feeling good? Like if I take that meeting, if I take, you know, that lunch date or what have you, like there are so many opportunities that we all have, but we don't have to take them all.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to just get focused and be like, how will I feel afterwards? And like, is this in line with nourishing myself on XYZ level? So yes. Again, there are a lot of questions, but I kind of go through all those things when I think about pushing myself too hard, because I can really go, like, that's my natural state. It's just go, go, go. Cause it's like, I'm so passionate about Nutrition Stripped. And then it's also like, I'm just an insane hard worker. Mm-hmm. So it's hard sometimes to shut off, but I've learned better, you know, to do that.
Yeah. I call it the empowered no, you know, and where you say no to something, but not like, no, like I'm, but like, no, you know, like you have a why behind it. You're passionate about saying no rather than feeling guilty or feeling bummed. And I apply that to food as well. Like when my clients come to me and they're like, how do you resist XYZ unhealthy food? I'm like, well, I think about how that food's going to make me feel. And if I don't want to feel the way that that food's going to make me feel, then I happily say no. And it's an empowered no. It's a happy no.
Yeah. Yeah. No with purpose.
Yeah. You know? I like that. No with purpose. So do you think, you said that, you know, you're really attached to your morning routine and that that really helps you set you up for your day. Have you found with most of your clients that they also thrive in routines? Like, do you think we're all naturally routine people, or kind of like you were saying, there's not one perfect diet plan for each person? Is not every person a routine thriver?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think everyone thrives in routine. I don't. I think our bodies really love routine from like a biological standpoint. Like just take the sleep cycle, for example, you know, and digestion, right? Like hunger cues and all of that. Like I think our bodies really love it. But I've had clients who have like the most sporadic schedule I've ever seen, or they're traveling all the time. So it's more about how do we make like a mock routine to wherever you are. Like, how do we fit in these things that are going to be in your list of like routines, but they're not necessarily like fleshed out or an event. Like you don't have to make it an event, right?
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on like knowing you and how you work. And if you haven't tried like a little bit more of a structured like morning routine where you kind of get in the flow, because that's what it's about. It's like the flow. It's like the habit to where it doesn't even feel like, like when I do the quote morning routine in the morning, it just feels like me waking up.
Right.
Like, because it's such a habit, and it's this really beautiful, like spacious flow in the morning because it's just ingrained. And so I feel like if you haven't tried that yet, like give yourself like a couple of weeks to experiment with one, even if it's really small. Like it doesn't have to be crazy long. Maybe it's just like an evening routine and you do like 3 steps before you go to bed. But yeah, I would invite like people who haven't done that before just to try it out and see if it does create like a nice space.
Yeah.
A nice flow.
And it's a nice bookend for your day, you know, where you know no matter what crazy, potentially unhealthy stuff happens in the middle of the day, if you have a morning and evening routine, at least you bookended your day with some great shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or if you know, like, you know, you're commuting for an hour every day, like, can you make a little like routine and listening to a podcast that uplifts you or helps you turn off work for the day or what have you, or like mm-hmm. call a friend or a family member and, you know, whatever it is that helps you feel good.
Yeah. So you mentioned your workouts, and I know you have a routine, you know, to work out, and you talk a lot about your workouts on Instagram stories. I'm curious, what's your relationship, you know, in your mind between exercise and stress and food, and how do you balance all that? Like, what do you typically eat around your workouts, and do you work out a certain way when you're feeling stressed? And do you find that for some people, exercise makes them more stressed, or is it always a de-stressor? I've heard, you know, conflicting opinions.
I think that's a great question. So from my personal experience, I think I gravitate towards movement of all kinds, like most days. Now, does that mean a run every day? Absolutely not. But it might mean like a walk outside with our dog, you know, for 30 minutes to clear my head if it's a stressful day or if I'm feeling a little under the weather. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think it's more about listening to your body and catering your movement for that day around that. But I'm not one to be like, you know, go in the gym and what is it? What's that saying? Like, no pain, no gain. Yeah. I think it's like ridiculous. Like, no, just like love your body and work out because it makes you feel good. And I definitely work out from a mental, like emotional, spiritual level, because I try to like do a running meditation, or if I'm swimming, I'll kind of do like meditations while I'm doing that.
Wow.
So for me, that really sets me up like mentally for the day versus, and of course, like we all know the physical benefits of exercise are incredible. So that's just like an added bonus.
Yeah.
For me, I try to get in, you know, at least a half hour most days of movement, like every day of movement. Again, it could be even just a 30-minute walk, like to and from the office or something. But at least I'm getting in like movement that I'm trying to dedicate to myself.
What's a running meditation?
I don't even know if it exists, but it's something that I do.
What do you do?
So it's just...
So it clearly exists.
I suppose it's just... you know, how you get in the flow when you're working out, or if you've ever swam before. So swimming for me is really therapeutic because it's repeated movement mm-hmm. and you kind of just get in this zone. And same with running. It's like you get in this zone and this flow where for the first maybe 5-10 minutes, depending on the day, I'm just working out like random thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like kind of like stream of consciousness, like what's on my mind, da da da. It's so like ego driven. And then I can just like get rid of that and just be. Again, it's kind of like if I were sitting down meditating, that's kind of how I start meditation too, is just whatever thoughts are arising, just be, you know, and just let them hang out and like let them go before I can actually just sit with myself pretty still. And so again, I'm not technically still, I'm running or I'm swimming, but it feels very still. And so I love those moments. And again, that's really my motivation behind working out too. But also if this seems like so abstract, which I get, like, I know this is like a little abstract, but you can even just try saying like mantras, mm-hmm. you know, I feel strong, I am confident, I am nourished, or I do things that nourish me. Whatever like those mantras are, I'm really into those. I have some listed on the blog as well, but you can just repeat those. And I think it's a really nice, again, mental, emotional primer to really set yourself up for the day. So you're feeling really proactive versus reactive to stress or whatever's coming your way for the day ahead. And it just sets you up really well.
That's great. I mean, it sounds like meditation is a huge part of your being, your daily existence.
Yeah, I've been toying with it since I was like 21. So it's really important to me.
Yeah, it's great. So change of subject, your society. I know, last year, maybe you launched your Nutrition Strip Society?
So we have the Guide to Master Meal Planning. And that is a year's worth of meal plans, cooking videos, cooking lists. So like you can bring it to the grocery store and you have a grocery shopping list and also your cooking plan for the week. And that's incredible. And then the society is the monthly subscription. It's $5.99 and it's exclusive videos, recipes, in-depth nutrition and wellness articles, like Q&A stuff. It's really cool. We're trying to, because this is a new thing, but we're trying to make it a little bit more like feedback driven. So like as society members write in, say like, hey, like I want to see this content. next month. It's really like driven by our community, which has been really fun.
Wow. What led you to create that? I mean, that sounds like quite the undertaking.
It's just fun. And also we had so many requests outside of, so we had like thousands of people who were really into the Guide to Master Meal Planning and really purchased that program to help them meal plan for life. Cause it's really about the strategies and laying out the framework of it. It's really organized week to week to help you reduce food waste and to keep meals really simple and really teach you. Like that's the purpose of it. It's not like a plug and place, like, meal planning software, some that are out there. Like that's not what I was trying to do. I was trying to like coach people how to meal plan essentially.
Wow.
So from that, we had just tons of inquiries like, hey, like I really love this, but can we have even more recipes or like videos and da da da. And the thing is already like a beast of a program. And so to add on to that, I was like, no, we're doing something different because not everybody, like in the community wants to know how to meal prep because they either already do and they do it every day and they do it really well, or it's just like they're not into it and that's fine. So I wanted to serve them, the community, in a different way. That's it.
That's so cool. So do you meal plan for yourself?
Yeah.
Even though like your daily work must entail recipe testing and, you know, you live with so much food and Jesse cooks a lot of food, but you still like get in there every Sunday and make all the stuff?
Yeah, I try to meal plan every Sunday, meal prep, just like basics. But to be honest, like I'm not in the kitchen every day, like recipe testing. I'm pretty like, I like to batch recipe tests so that if I'm in the kitchen, I'm experimenting like all day and I'm trying to knock out maybe like 10 or 12 recipes if I'm being really ambitious, because I like to be like in that creative flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bandana on, music, smock.
Yeah. Like I just like to have fun with it. And so normally I'll plan or try to just like hit up one day to do that like a week, or maybe it's every other week for the whole month on the blog or something like that. Like I really like to batch do that. So yeah, for sure. I meal plan every week. And then, you know, if we cook during the week, it could just be a combination of those like meal components we made on Sunday, or it's straight up like a meal from scratch. And we take a little bit more time and like have like more of a fun evening just like making it. So
wow.
It just depends.
When you meal plan, does that involve breakfast too? Or is it mostly like components for lunch and snacks and dinners?
Mostly for lunch and dinner for me, because smoothies are kind of like my go-to in the morning, unless I make like chia seed pudding or overnight oats, or it's on the weekend. I might like make some pancakes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like Monday through Friday, I just like some variation of like a post-workout smoothie that's really loaded up so I can take it with me to go to the office, and it keeps me full until lunch. And then I use like meal components that I've made on the weekend for lunch and dinner.
Ooh, tell us what's in your post-workout smoothie if you don't mind.
Yeah, I would say like the most popular one for me is almond milk. So maybe 1 to 2 cups of almond milk, depending on like how many greens I put in there. I'll do 2 handfuls of greens. So I've really been loving watercress lately.
Ooh.
Like for the past, like, I don't even know, I've been on like a 2 month kick of watercress lately. So, which is insanely antioxidant rich, more than kale. And it tastes really, really nice too in green smoothies. So anyway, almond milk, watercress, I'll do like fresh lemon, like maybe half of a fresh squeezed lemon, vanilla protein powder. I'll do almond butter or cashew butter. Sometimes like coconut butter if I have it. Let's see what else. Do sometimes flaxseed or chia seed in there, and berries. So
yum.
Again, really any type of frozen berry that I have. So raspberries, blueberries, blackberries are my favorite.
That sounds great. And that keeps you full to lunch.
Yeah, the fat will do that. The fat and the fiber really keep you nice and full. So I kind of go a little heavy-handed on that almond butter.
YOLO.
to help toast you. Yeah. So if you're experimenting with it at home, you can just try that out. Like if you get really hungry, like an hour or two later, then maybe beef up the flaxseed or chia seed or the healthy fat, and that'll toast you a little bit longer.
That's so helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I want to be mindful of your time because, as we said, you know, you're a busy gal. You've got a lot going on. So I'm just going to ask you my few plant party questions, and then I'll let you get back on your way. Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
Okay. What is your favorite plant party restaurant? Just a restaurant that has great plants.
Oh my goodness. Does it have to be in Nashville or can it be like anywhere?
Anywhere.
I really loved Plant Food and Wine
in LA.
Yeah. That like that menu blew my mind. It was insane. And they were so kind when I was in LA for the cookbook tour to give me a tour of their kitchen space above where they do their cooking school and teach all their soon to be chefs. It was probably just like the combination of that really special experience, a glass of rosé, and then an amazing like day. So I really loved that.
That's great. And it literally has the word plant in it.
Yeah.
And I very much miss Pure Food and Wine. I assume you went there.
I didn't. I don't know what that is.
Oh my God. It was in New York City. It was actually Matthew Kenny's original. He opened up with this Sarma. Melon, blah, blah, blah. It was here. Pure Food and Wine and One Lucky Duck. And then he left and did his own thing and now opened up Plant Food and Wine, has all these other restaurants, and she's in jail, but that's a different story.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I do know that now that you bring it up, that it was in New York.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
What is your favorite plant to eat?
I mean, I'm going to be boring and to just say like dark leafy greens.
That's so boring.
I know it is.
No, I'm just kidding. Really, no, watercress was fascinating.
Yeah, I do. Again, like right now in the present moment, I would say watercress, but my like classic is dino kale.
I like that you specify the kale.
It is.
I know it is. So I also, you love dates, which I mean, I feel like we're kindred spirits and that we both consume a lot of dates. I don't feel like everybody's all on the date train. So why do you love, I just want to know why you love dates so much and what do you do with them the most, would you say, in your day-to-day life?
Well, I don't have them daily, but I have them weekly. And it's either in a smoothie to sweeten it really quick, or if I want to use it as a sweetener in a smoothie, plus add a little bit of fiber and a little bit of carbohydrate, I'll add, you know, maybe one or two or something. Otherwise, I like them in raw desserts or just as is. And I like them. The flavor's amazing. Like the flavor and the texture is like, it's literally nature's
candy. I know.
Yeah.
So good.
But like caramel in particular. It's just like, it's insane. The texture is really insane.
Yeah.
On that note though, too, we have a raw caramel recipe that includes dates that is just out of this world. You have to try it.
Okay. I'll link it in the show notes and I will link it in my mouth.
Yes.
What is your most used kitchen tool?
Vitamix.
Nice.
Or the Breville kettle, actually.
Like a tea kettle?
Hot water. Yeah. Because I drink tea all day long.
Oh, what kind of tea do you drink all day long?
Well, like in the afternoon and the evening, caffeine-free herbal, like rooibos, which is a red tea, and or just like traditional medicinals or like yogi tea. Like they have a lot of really good blends of like chamomile or dandelion or something like that. So I mix it up.
What do you do in the early part? The green tea or matcha, I guess, right?
Yeah, matcha or I love chai.
Chai. Do you just do like a regular tea bag of it, or do you like do the whole
thing? No, I'm like very like simple with it, like a lazy chai, which is from the tea bag.
A lazy chai
from the tea bag with steamed milk, like steamed almond milk, maybe like half that, half boiling water, so the tea can actually steep, and that's it. I mean, like super quick.
So lazy. Gosh. Yeah. What is a book that's inspired you in some awesome way?
Power of Now. I love that book.
Good one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, where can people go to get their nutrition stripped?
To get all things nutrition stripped?
We'll get there.
I mean, literally type in Google nutrition stripped and come to our blog. Because
it's a stupid question. I know.
And really, it's like a website, to be honest, because it's blown
up.
Yeah,
it's not a blog.
A great resource. Yeah. Yeah. So recipes, articles. We launched our new t-shirts and sweatshirts, which are just like flying off. If we had a physical shelf, it would be flying off our shelf. But those are really fun. And then, if you want to join the society or get meal plans for the year, that's all on our website too.
How do you keep up with all this? I mean, You do so much. Your website, I feel like every time I go to your website, it's been revamped and you have new things and it's reorganized and you pump out so much content. And then you have your society and your Instagram and your clothes and your products. Like, how do you do it? And you still sound so grounded and happy and peaceful. It's mind blowing.
Well, thank you.
Give me the answer.
Thank you. I'm coming over the answer. No, honestly, I think it's in my DNA to be really like operationally organized. So I think that works well for a company. So I plan ahead. I have a great team that's grown. And so, you know, I have help with like the social media planning. I still do all of like Instagram and comments and all of that stuff. Like I love doing that. It's such a fun touch point. But, you know, like emails that we send out and, you know, website stuff, like I have my hand in everything, but I've also learned again from that learning experience with burnout circa like, you know, whatever, 2014 or 2015 to delegate and to have help. And, you know, I'm grateful to be in, or the company is in the position to like have a team. And so that's really helpful. I don't think I would ever just be like cool hanging out without challenging myself, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so all of these things that we do and have in the air are ways that I've pushed for because I want to feel like a little uncomfortable, ooh. At least like several times during the week. Wow. You know what I mean? It needs to feel just like a slight like, this is a little uncomfortable. Because you're really pushing yourself and you're growing and you're strengthening and you're building that like resiliency. Otherwise, I feel like I would just become too comfortable and I wouldn't have fun anymore.
Wow. Wow. That's great. That's so inspiring. So what's next for you then? What's going to be the next thing that makes you uncomfortable that you just plow through?
Oh my goodness. Well, we definitely have a lot on the docket. I think the one thing I'm really excited and can share about are online courses that are going to go like far more in depth on specific nutritional needs. I'll say that. So really kind of putting a spin on my dietetic background in a way that's reaching people from their home so they can do kind of like a self-study course.
Damn, girl, you are doing it all. Well, I want to get a t-shirt or something bring a lie of your book already, but I'm going to get a t-shirt or something. But thank you so much for coming on the show. I was saying before we pressed play, I've been following you since your day one, I think, or maybe your day like 10, but you're amazing. You're such an inspiration to everybody that I know that eats plants. So thank you for what you do. And thank you for not bailing on me since I'm rescheduling 12 times since July.
You're so sweet. No, I'm also sorry about that. No. But practicing what I preach.
I know. Way to stay on brand.
I know. But no, I really appreciate that. That's so kind. And truly, like anytime I get a verbal compliment like that or email or comment on Instagram or something like genuinely feel the same way every time it's received. And I'm just like very humbled and, you know, it's incredible. So yeah, thank you for allowing me to share our story of Nutrition Stripped and how it became to be and say hi.
Yay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you slurped up a lot of these great thoughts like you'd slurp up a great smoothie. I just love how Mikkel said, why do all the matcha and gojis if you're not even getting 8 to 10 cups of greens a day? If I could take that comment out on a romantic candlelit planty dinner, walk it home safely and give it a smooch goodnight, I would. I so would. But that makes no real sense. So I'm just going to say the comment again. Why do all the matcha and the gojis if you're not even getting in 8 to 10 cups of greens a day? If that is all you take away from our chat, that is more than enough. It is truly about simplicity over superfoods, my friend, with the little arrow pointing to the superfoods because it's the loser. If you can think of any other human who could truly, madly, deeply benefit from hearing this chat, please, for the love of blueberries, share it with them. And if you can spare like 2 minutes leaving a review of my podcast in iTunes, por favor, for the love of guacamole, leave a review of my podcast in iTunes. And if you want a very detailed recap of this chat, links to all of Mikkel's morning routines and more stuff from Moi that takes the hell out of healthy living, venture over to partyinmyplants.com/128. I've also linked to her book, Nutrition Stripped, in the show notes. Friend, it is a freaking beaut and is packed with planty goodness. And just the other day, I showed it to my photo team as inspiration for our shoot. So cool. Okay, I hear my tea kettle whistling to me. I've been drinking tons of ginger tea to get me through the digestive weirdness of cooking and eating like 80 recipes in 2 weeks. Whee! Okay, thanks for listening. Bye!